we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Fear can follow us anywhere we go. It hides in our mind and lurks in the shadowy corners of our lives. You may fear danger, illness, death, or even being alone in the dark. But there are worse things. Think about a disgusting, foul, fetid yellow paste made of plant matter and fermented fluids. Now think about rubbing it on your food and eating it.
Louise is petrified of mustard.
Oh my God! Look at it! Look, get away from me!
Sit down!
Look at it! Look at it!
That's just a picture!
Look at it! It's disgusting!
Don't! All right, that's enough!
Don't, come on! Come on, that's enough!
That's enough!
That's enough!
When it comes to your fears, you're never alone.
Excellent. Anybody afraid of mustard? Anyone? Yeah, a few people. My favorite part of that clip we didn't put in, it's like, wait a second, are you afraid of ketchup? It's like, no, there's nothing afraid of ketchup. Yeah. No one's afraid of ketchup. He's like, but mustard? And she goes back to screaming, oh my goodness. All right. Welcome to Redemption Church, everyone. If you didn't know, we are a fun-loving church in Plano, Texas. Did I describe us right? Are we a fun-loving church? Yeah. Absolutely. My name is Chris Fluitt. I serve as lead pastor here, and I greet everybody in Jesus' name, the people watching online, people in the room. Thank you all for being here with us. We are in the second week of our fear series, second week. And last week we told you that fear positions itself where? Fear always positions itself behind you. In every scary movie, it is that masked killer that creeps up behind Jamie Lee Curtis, right? It is always the blob that's oozing behind the clueless damsel in distress. Fear has this way. It's always showing up behind us, right out of our field of vision, where we can't see it, in the dark corners, there it is, all right? Fear likes to lurk. Fear likes to haunt. Fear hangs out where you can't see it, but where you can absolutely feel it. This is where all the what-if fears come into play, right? What if I get sick? What if I fail? What if other people think bad things? What if the car breaks down? What if? All these what ifs. And we have an opportunity to change positions on fear. That's what we told you last week. You can change positions on fear, but it requires you to face your fear. Facing your fear takes away the spooky power it holds over you. Don't try to hide from your fear. Don't try to outrun your fear, because you're going to run through the woods and twist your ankle. It happens in every movie. Jamie Lee Curtis did it like 5 times in that one movie. All right. That doesn't work in the horror movies. And guess what? It doesn't work in real life either. You've got to face your fears. But don't try to face your fears on your own. You should make the Lord your shepherd. And let him face those fears. You see, you're going to face your fears, but also you're going to put God in front. That's what we told you. God's word says that the Lord will go before you. But there's something powerful that also happens. The Lord goes before you. He's going to fight your fear, but that's not the only place God is. It also says that he will be your rear guard. So when you make the Lord your shepherd, he goes before you. He protects you. The Bible says that surely goodness and love will follow after me all the days of my life. We're kicking fear to the curb when we make the Lord our shepherd. All right. Now we're ready for today, but I got a question for you. I like to get little polls from everybody. Take out your smartphone, everybody. Out your phone. It doesn't even have to be a smart one. It can be a dirt phone. It doesn't have to be smart. But I want to know, what are you afraid of? Okay? And I want you to text our number, 214-856-0550. This is an anonymous number. Okay? So, like, when you say that you're really afraid of macaroni and cheese or something like that, no one's going to judge you. I will probably chuckle to myself as I read it, but I won't judge you, Ackley. All right. So, send those in. What are you afraid of? 214-856-0550. Did you know that there are some 530 documented phobias? About 530. There's really, they don't have time to document them all. The truth is that the number of phobias is actually endless, because you can actually be afraid of anything. Right. You can be afraid of being around people. That's called anthropophobia, all right? So afraid to being around people. Or you could be afraid of being alone. That is monophobia. You thought Shelton Mono, that it was the fear of Shelton Mono. It's not. It's the fear of being alone. You can be afraid of wide open spaces, right? That's agoraphobia. Or you can be afraid of confined spaces. That's claustrophobia. You can be afraid of cats, eulurophobia. Or you can be afraid of dogs, cynophobia. What are you afraid of? Text us in, 214-856-0550. Today, I want to tell you that fear isn't all powerful. In fact, fear needs the right conditions. Can you say right conditions? Right. Fear doesn't work in every setting. Fear doesn't work in every setting. Do you agree with that? All right. Fear needs a dark and stormy night. Fear needs secluded woods. And you hear a sound over there. And like, oh, what? Mr. Marbles? Fear needs a deserted house with lots of spider webs. That's what it needs. Fear needs the right conditions. All right? Imagine a dark, secluded alley. You seen it yet? Dark, secluded. And you hear strange sounds that are otherworldly. And then suddenly you see a ballerina eating a pizza. I just ruined it, didn't I? What? Right? A ballerina eating a pizza? What's scary about that, right? That's unexpected, but you wouldn't think that's scary, right? Right. All right. Or imagine the scariest scene in a movie, but the music is ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, that takes away. It's all about the loud noises and the strings and the wah and the horn, right? Kind of sounds that are happening, all right? Oh, man. So, before I told you about the ballerina with the pizza, it was shaping up. That could be kind of scary. Wonder where this is going. But the information of the ballerina eating a pizza does not fulfill the conditions of fear. In fact, in most cases, the more information you have, it leads to the less fear you have. There's a lot of times a doctor tells you a bad report on a sickness, and people go through the roof. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And then the doctor says, no, here's some things we can do to treat it. Here's some things. And the added information keeps them from jumping off a cliff, right? You're following me, all right? Added information can change the condition of fear. Are you following me? All right. Fear is conditional. And you know this, although you might not have defined it very well, but you know, you learned this as probably an 8-year-old, 6-year-old, that some things aren't scary simply when you turn on the light. Everyone can relate to this. You're a kid. No, I'm not going to do it again. You're a kid, right? And it's nighttime, and you're in bed, and the lights are off, and then you look across the room and see something staring back at you, and you freeze, because you do not want to trigger the scary ghost demon gnome into attacking you. It's a thing. Look it up on Google. It's not a thing. I'm making it. All right. But what is it really, guys? What is it really? Really, when you turn on the lights, the zombie ghost demon gnome turns into your chair with your school bag and your clothes thrown across it. Everyone remembers that as a kid. You kind of went through that, and your mom comes in and goes, it's nothing, it's just a thing. And it's like, oh, okay. What changed? No, that zombie ghost demon gnome can turn into a chair. No, that's not what happened. The conditions up here in your brain changed. It was always a chair with a school bag and dirty clothes thrown across it. The conditions changed from certain death. You are absolutely dead. You better not move. Into, oh yeah, I should clean my room. Somewhere a mom is amening me on the internet. Amen. Preach with me, mom. All right. So fear is conditional. Oh, man. You can change the conditions. That means you can change the fear. If you can change the conditions, you can actually remove the fear from the situation. Whatever you are fearing today, you can change the conditions that lead to your fear. Does that give you some hope? I sure hope so. The condition that fear capitalizes on most, I want to hit that with you today, is lack. Everyone says lack. Lack is fear's open door. You know what it means to lack, right? That means you don't have enough. It means you need some mo and you don't have it. You know what I'm talking about? A lack of knowledge, perhaps. This happens in a dark room. It's dark and you don't know what could be in the room with you. That's a lack of knowledge. You hear a sound and you don't know what it is. Oh no, what could that be? You get a phone call. Oh my goodness, I don't recognize this number, or maybe I do recognize this number and it's got to be bad news, so immediately you won't answer. You are getting news later this week about an important medical test, and you're like, oh my goodness, the lack of knowledge I have right now is scaring me to death. If I just knew, right? Lack leads to fear. How about a lack of resources? Lack of knowledge, lack of resources. You don't have enough time to do this important thing, right? The night before the big school paper is due and you just now are starting on it, that's a pretty scary time. It's a pretty scary time. You don't have enough time to do this important thing, all right? You don't have enough money in your bank account to solve the problem. You don't have anyone that you can call on for help. That's pretty scary stuff. A lack of knowledge, a lack of resources. How about this? A lack of strength. You don't have enough inside you to answer the challenge. Not enough physical strength. Not enough intelligence. Not enough talent. Not enough of the it factor, whatever that is. Fear always capitalizes on your, say it, lack. All right. Where there is lack in your life, you're going to find fear. Do an inventory and you'll see it's true. Here's a question. Just answer this inside yourself. Is your relationship suffering from a lack of trust? Is your spiritual life suffering from a lack of faith? Is your heart and mind suffering from a lack of confidence? Do an inventory. Where in your life are you afraid? I would tell you to look again. That's an area in your life that you are experiencing lack. Where's the lack in your life? That is the open door to fear. I want to tell you that we avoid fear by avoiding lack. We try, instead of facing our fears, instead of changing things, we think it's best to just avoid it. So let's do something. Let's avoid our lack. Let's make sure that if lack means you don't have stuff, let's make sure we have stuff. And so we get stuff and we come here and we are avoiding fear by having a barrier of supply and surplus between us and fear. And so wherever fear is moving, that means that we are moving in a way to stay away from fear. No, you're sneaky. I've got stuff right here. And so people are always maneuvering in their life, constantly trying to figure out where to go to escape fear. And they're doing it with stuff. I would tell you that fear is a spiritual condition. you would be really in a bad shape to be taking material, physical things to fight a spiritual enemy. But that is exactly what we do. Am I right? Am I right? Yes, I'm right. All right. So fear is out there. And we try to create this buffer between us and fear. If lack is the open door, then we assume we got to get lots of stuff. We got to get a surplus. We can't have enough of it. We got to get more and more. And then we'll avoid fear. We think that will defeat fear. So let's see what that looks like. All right. You've got your finances. Oh, man. You can't get a hold of me, buddy. I've got plenty of money in the bank. So what if my car breaks down? So what? You can't. I'm not scared because there is money in the bank. How about this? My relationships. Man, oh, some of you, it would scare you if someone knew y'all were going through relationship problems. So, man, we don't just need the best relationship. We need to have like the perfect marriage, the perfect family life, really put on a good show for everybody. We want others to look at us and actually say, man, I wish I were them. Yeah, that's how we want to be. That they would look at us and wish they were us. But you know, anything less than that would be pretty scary. And y'all, how about stuff? We need like material stuff, like everybody, the American dream. We've got to have the perfect house. We've got a house. It is a house that impresses. It is a house that says, I've achieved. It is a house that says, I'm not a loser. I've got it going on. All right. It's a house we are proud of. Other people are jealous of our house. And if we don't have that house, that's kind of scary. Also, you know, that you need a really good answer to that question. Hey, what's your name and what do you do? Well, I've got a really impressive job. I've got all kinds of labels and titles for my job. And I have degrees and I've got a lot of success right here. Lots of it. In fact, the more I have than other people, the better I feel about myself. And I can always say, well, at least I've got this going well in my life. You know, there's a lot of people that they're facing a lot of fear, and instead of actually addressing the actual fear in their life, they go, well, at least I have this going in my life. Your job, how about that? How about this one? Happiness. Man, I feel good. I've got some good emotional things going on. I've got a surplus of good vibes, and wherever fear comes in, I just pull up the happy thoughts. I pull up the happy feelings. I go out to a party. Yeah. You'd be surprised if you could read the people's minds that are going out to the club. Most of them are avoiding fear. And they're trying to put a buffer between them and the reality that's staring them down. We try to have enough of the things that make us happy. And then, of course, health. You want to feel good. You don't want to hear that report that you've only got so long to live. You don't want to lack in this area. One of the scariest things in the world is to figure out that you don't have long to be on this earth, and the people that you care about could die. That is one of the scariest thoughts ever. So what do we have here? We've got a barrier. We've got to keep that going. We've got to keep that between us and fear. If anything were to happen to this man, we would be in trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all with me? So, we build this wall against fear. And as long as we aren't lacking, we feel like we're able to close the door on fear. He can't get past this. I've got my health. I've got my finances. I'm an impressive person. I am well thought of in the community. Dad, don't laugh at that. That's true. But the problem is, this kind of life is built on conditions. And didn't we tell you that fear is conditional? So if we're building our defense on conditional things, and fear is built on conditional things. Do you think maybe we aren't thinking this through, perhaps? All right, because you know what? Your health, it can go in a moment. The healthiest person still drives on I-75. There were plenty of healthy people in Haiti when Hurricane Matthew hit. Plenty of people. What about happiness? Oh man, that's not conditional, is it? Dallas, Texas is happy or depressed based on what the Cowboys do. You don't even have to know the score. Just drive into work tomorrow and just sense the mood in the room. You'll know, oh man, we must have gotten blown out, or man, Dak Prescott is the man. That's the truth. That's the truth. Happiness is so fleeting. It is so conditional. There are stupid things. I have had my happiness taken away from me by something stupid someone wrote on Facebook before. You kidding me? Yeah. How about this one? Your job. Oh man, that's not conditional, is it? Oh, it is absolutely conditional. Absolutely. Let me tell you, your boss might actually be a dumb jerk and fire you. It could totally happen. How about your house? Oh man, you ever known somebody that went through foreclosure? That they had the house? You know, a lot of people, you know, in this last decade or so, they thought they had it all figured out. They thought they had the perfect house, but they are paying too much on it, plus their credit card debt, and then guess what? Poof, it's gone. It's gone. So if that's gone, man, at least we have our relationships, but guess what? Based on the other stuff, guess what? Your relationships always suffer when your finances suffer. The majority of Americans are in debt. The majority of Americans have credit card debt up to their eyeballs. The majority of Americans are, although they are in debt, they cannot wait for Christmas to get here. Why? So they can go buy more debt. Finances, man. Even if you are in this place, you're like, oh man, no, not me, sir. I've got my 401k and I've got an ROI, one of those things. You can tell I'm great at this. I've got a plan for retirement. I've got all this stuff put together. Oh, whatever. You could absolutely make all the right choices, and then your government goes, blurp, we forgot how to deal with money. It happens. It happens. There were plenty of rich people in, I believe, Germany that in the end, all their money was just like debris on the streets because it was literally worthless. No one would take the time of day to even pick up a dollar because it was worthless. It was basically monopoly money. In one day, it went from, I am on cloud nine, I am powerful, I've got money, to it is not worth anything. Guess what a lot of those people did? They committed suicide. This is a scary place to be. When you have built your life trying to keep fear compartmentalized out of your view, avoided, and suddenly everything that you were dependent on fell one by one, this is a really scary place to be. If one of the conditional areas of your life begins to lack, then guess what? Fear has found its open door. The truth is that the moment you decide to build your life on conditional things, that is the very moment you lost your war to fear. You didn't lose it when the things went bad. You lost it when you decided what you were going to build your life on. Let me get a hold of you real quick. If you think money is the most important thing, shake yourself right now. Shake your... If you think that your marriage marriage is sacred, man. Don't be talking bad. Don't get mad at me. I'm not talking about marriage. But if you think your life is completely built on your spouse loving you forever, look out. That's dangerous. And it's conditional. And it can change. Every conditional area of your life is prone to fear. Fear actually only needs to wait for the open door. And it's only a matter of time until there is an open door. Can I tell you, when you start to fear, you'll do just about anything. There are people that they spy on their spouse. Like they're hiring an investigator to follow their spouse around because they are afraid their spouse is cheating. Sometimes they have good reason. Sometimes, no, not really any good reason. How about this one? There are young people that kill other young people for their shoes. They don't have the money to go buy Air Jordans. And they can't go to school without Air Jordans because one of their friends might make fun of them. So, we'll kill someone and steal their Air Jordans. When you are afraid, you're not going to think very rationally. When you're in fear, you're going to do stupid things. The world is afraid, can I tell you? Can I tell you? Is he absolutely afraid? How about this? You say something stupid when you're afraid. You make a dumb decision when you're afraid. When fear is in control, that's when you really spin out of control. Fear is conditional. Somebody say it. Fear is conditional.
Fear is conditional.
And lack is the open door to fear. So just think with me for a little bit. If fear attacks from a place of lack, then you need to counteract from something that doesn't lack. Are you following me? It attacks from lack, so maybe we should live on something that doesn't lack. How about this one? If fear attacks from a conditional place, then maybe you would need to resist fear with something that is unconditional. Is this logical enough? Are you following me? Can we think of someone that doesn't have any lack? Can we think of something, or can we think of someone that doesn't have condition? Can I tell you? There is no lack. There is no condition in Jesus Christ. He went to the cross for who? Me and you? Everybody? You mean not conditionally? He didn't just go for Republicans? He didn't just go for Democrats? No, he went for everyone. Not lacking anything. Well, what he did on the cross, will it forgive some of your sin? What he did on the cross, will it forgive, you know, your little white lies, but not maybe your big, hairy, scary, keep them in the back attic? No, it without lacking anything, is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus has no lack. Jesus has no condition. Fear doesn't have a chance against Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. Somebody tell me what 1 Corinthians 13 is known as. It's called the love chapter. The love chapter. Hey, baby, I think we should read 1 Corinthians 13 together. All right. Amen. All right. We got an amen on that. It's good. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It tells us that we operate from lack in every situation in life except for three.
All
right. Did you know that? It's right in the middle of that chapter. You operate from lack in every area of life except for how many?
Three.
Three. Even much of the things we consider ministry is from a place of lack. It says the prophecy, is prophecy good? Is prophecy? Yeah, it's from God, right? It says it's going to fail. Speaking in tongues, is that a real spiritual thing that's in the Bible? Yeah, absolutely. It says one day it's going to cease. It's going to go away. How about knowledge? Do you think your Bible has good things to say about knowledge? It says you only know in part, and it's not good enough. Right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. These are things we consider ministry. And let me tell you, they're full of lack. The chapter reveals to us that there is a time coming when Jesus will make everything complete and whole. That means no lack. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says this, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. You following me yet? When perfection comes, what is this perfection? It's Jesus. Jesus is the perfection that's coming to earth. If you're looking for another perfection to come to earth, you're going to be looking forever. You're not going to find the perfect government. You're not going to find the perfect candidate. I'm really sorry, ladies. You're not going to find the perfect spouse. You're not going to find the perfect job. You're not going to find the perfect house. You're not going to have the perfect kids. None of those things is perfect. There's only one thing coming to earth that is perfection, and it is Jesus. And how perfect is he? Absolutely perfect. He is so perfect that when he comes, all imperfection goes out the door. That's what it says. When perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When Jesus returns, all lack will disappear. Everything will be made complete. Fear has no place when Jesus rules and reigns. Read this. Revelation 21 and 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. No mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things, the old life you used to live, all of that has passed away. Do you get that death is going to pass away? That fear is going to pass away? That worry, that crying is going to pass away? That is a funeral I am looking forward to attending. It's going to pass away. Fear, your days are numbered. Because of Jesus. When Jesus reigns, fear will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. He will make all things new. He will make all things complete. Lack, the open door of fear, is going to be no more. Because that which is perfect has come. We want this day to come, don't we? Unfortunately, it's not come yet. Bummer. I know, Michelle, it's a bummer. But you're going to have to wait for that day. So that day is coming, right? But right now, where are we? We're still dealing with a world that is very much full of that dude right there, fear. But in the last verse of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, it says something important. It reveals three things that exist now and will remain after Jesus returns. Look at that verse, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Look at these three things. Let's read this out loud. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. All right, I want you to get this. That Jesus is coming to make everything perfect, everything complete. But until that day, he has given us three things that are right now, at this moment, perfect and complete and without lack. I want to tell you that a complete faith in Jesus will defeat fear. If you will have a complete faith in Jesus, what if this really bad thing happens? God is still on the throne. I believe he will take care of me. How about this one? Hope. A hope that doesn't change or give up will defeat fear. Even when things are looking bad, you have hope. You have hope that this is not the end. Even if your life ends, You have hope that you will get out of the grave. And then last, the greatest of these, what is
love?
You have an unconditional love, and it will defeat fear. If I sin with the worst sin you can think of, I've still got unconditional love of Jesus. If I make the worst mistake in life, I still have the unconditional love of Jesus. If every one of you looked me in the face and said, "You are a jerk, Chris Fluitt, we hope you die and we never see you again," I hope y'all don't say that to me again. But if all of you told me that and you walked away saying, "I will never come back to that place," I will tell you that I am still loved unconditionally by Jesus. It defeats fear every time. Jesus is coming back to take away all our lack. You got it?
Yeah.
But he has already given us a faith and a hope and a love that does not lack. These are the only three things that will go from this side of when Jesus comes back to this side of when Jesus comes back. The ministry, the fivefold ministry of pastors and teachers, that won't enter into heaven. Because this is in part, this is lack, but that is perfect. There is only three things that are in this world of lack that do not lack. And they are, what are they? Same with me. Faith, hope, and love. Can I tell you, this is the barrier you ought to put up against fear. This is the barrier of a conditional fear. You ought to throw at him some unconditional things. No matter what he throws at you, you're loved. No matter what he tries to put in your head, you got hope. No matter what who comes along and says whatever, you got faith. And that's enough. Jesus is coming back. He tells us, we're told this in 1 John chapter 4, 18. I want you to read this verse out loud with me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives, come somebody help me. There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out all fear. Can you clap for the Lord? Do you believe that? I remember being an 8-year-old boy, and I was captured with some awful thoughts about what people might think about me. I remember being an 8-year-old boy suffering from some depression. I remember being an 8-year-old boy contemplating suicide, filled with fear. You better believe it. But I remember the night I was at a church, and I came to an altar just like this one. I remember when I felt Jesus tell me that he loved me. And I remember very distinctly that that was the last time I ever had a suicidal thought. I remember that that was the last time I had those kind of fears. Why? How did that happen? Because perfect love drives out all fear. What if you could never be afraid of that thing that's been haunting you all this time? What if you could never be afraid of that again? What if the love of Jesus were enough for you? What if hope in the name of Jesus was enough for you? What if faith was enough? This word, the perfect love, let me explain perfect for you real quick. The word perfect there doesn't mean without error, because that would be troublesome, right? Because we make mistakes. The word perfect there means without lack. The word perfect there means complete. A love that doesn't lack drives out all fear. Husbands, you got a wife that's afraid? We obviously need to get in touch with the unlacking love of Jesus, but you ought to try to offer your wife an unlacking, unconditional love. See what that does to her fear. Wives, when your husband is afraid of problems, here's where dudes usually are afraid. They're afraid that they're failing as a provider. They're afraid that they're failing as a good father. They're afraid that those are their fears. Why don't you come along and give an unlacking, unconditional love that is the same and consistent regardless of conditions? That'll take away the fear. It will drive it out. Here's really what you need to know today. Do not operate from lack. Do not operate from conditional things. Operate from faith in Jesus. Operate from hope in Jesus. Operate in the love of Jesus. Do you realize the power of faith, hope, and love? Your bank account might not be where you want it to be. And that's okay. That's all right. It's okay to say, man, I wish I had more money. I wish I got a raise. I wish I had a better paying job. All right to say those things. But don't get your life from that thing. Your relationship may be lacking in some areas, but don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up hope. The doctor might have told you that your health is failing. But don't you quit. Don't you give up. I like it when I hear somebody say, they tried to tell me how many months I had to live, but I didn't want to hear it because I'm just going to live every day fully. I love that kind of idea. Why don't you take that tack? Why don't you give every day you have in living out hope, faith, and love? We need to operate from these things. You see, fear always likes to whisper to us and say, you don't have enough. But child of God, don't you understand? You serve a God who is more than enough. That's one of his titles. He is more than enough. So do you have faith that God will provide all your needs? Is your hope in Jesus? Do you know that no matter your mistakes, God loves you unconditionally? Here's my last point I want to bring to you. You need to seek an unconditional kingdom. Seek an unconditional kingdom. When you put your trust in Jesus and seek first his kingdom, these great things happen. Number one, you look to the unconditional now. You look to a kingdom that has no lack in it. No one goes hungry in his kingdom. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Also, when there's no lack, you defeat fear. This kingdom defeats fear. And then guess what? This is the part I think you're really going to like. Then when you seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus himself adds all the conditional things you may need or want. He adds them back to your life. That's what Matthew 6:33 says. Read it. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, we're not telling you to not care about your relationships. But let Jesus be the Lord of your relationships. We're not telling you not to care about your health. Go work out. Go. Don't eat that entire cheese pizza by yourself. Don't do it. Share it with me. We're not telling you, man, we don't want you to be happy, that we don't value this. No, actually what we're trying to tell you is that the number one way to be happy is in Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to tell you. We're not telling you God cares about you. He says, commit your way into the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's what the Bible says. You want that house? Go after Jesus. He wants to give you that house. He's a provider. You see, you're trying to do it all yourself. Maybe he is a good father that just wants to give you what you need. Your finances. Finally. Your job. Some of y'all been praying for a job. God's going to give it to you. You see, this is stuff we need. But actually, God is everything we need. If your health is trouble, guess what? The Bible says that God is a healer. Amen. So he's the answer to the health thing. He's the provider. He's the answer to the finances thing. He's the forgiver of all sins. He's the answer to the relationships, on and on. You see, reminding you, fear needs the right conditions. You ought to just close your eyes for one moment. And I want you to imagine that thing you're afraid of. I want you to, in your head, tell that thing, fear, you are conditional. You only work in the right conditions. You only work when I focus on you. You only work when I try to do everything myself. Now look up. Fear is conditional, but the God we serve is unconditional. Amen. Jesus works in every situation. The story of the Bible is the story of how God works in every situation. Can I tell you, he works in failure. It's all throughout the Bible. That person failed and God worked. He works in jail cells. Man, some of us would be like, man, our life is over. We ended up in a jail cell. There are people that didn't do anything wrong. They ended up in jail cell. And guess what? God's unconditional love brought them out of it, was with them in it. That's how it works. He works when you're betrayed by brothers. The worst hurt is when you're betrayed by those you love. He works even then. He works when you're outnumbered. He works when giants are threatening. He works when there's no food in the house. He works when there is no money. He works when it seems you've lost everything. That's the unconditional God we serve. Even in death. Man, I don't like death. Even in death, he is unconditional. You can defeat death because of him. He works even in death. The one thing I definitely don't want to ever experience, he can work even in it. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and his word says if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies too. You're going to raise just like Jesus raised. So, church, are you afraid of anything right now? If you're afraid of something, can I tell you, you need to be calling on the unconditional God. If you're worried about something, you need to be talking to the Lord. We do three things every time we come to redemption. Number one, we already did. We worshiped God together. Number two, we just did. We received the word of God together. And number three is the thing we are about to do. We are going to talk to God together. All right. Here, what we do around here is we just kind of open this for a time of prayer. If you want to pray at your chair, you can do that. If you want to come up, you can pray up here. If you want someone to pray with you, come in the first 2 feet. And we'll pray with you. But we need to take about 5 minutes. And we need to talk to God. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you begin to talk to him? If you've been afraid of some things in your home, why don't you talk to the Lord about it right now in this place? I'm going to pray over us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to be in this place, God, and deliver us from all fear. God, Lord, we thank you for unconditional love, unconditional faith, an unconditional hope, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, in Jesus' name, if someone is going through a trial and a test right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would come in contact with all that you have for them, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, we are done building our life on conditional things. Lord, we're building our life on moments like this where we're in your presence, where we're calling on the name of Jesus, where we're receiving your word and believing it. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, take a few moments. You talk to God. You open up your mouth and you start to talk to him in the name of
Jesus. For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.